1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, and I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Beside, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Then we're going to go back and remind ourselves of what we saw in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So if you turn there, please, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read this, and that will save me a little time when I get into the message. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to get into the Scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept. We're going to continue tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would help us to focus on what's before us. Lord, we certainly want to learn from this letter. We want to make sure, Lord, that we have done right here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that we do not, Lord, repeat the errors and some of the mistakes that were going on in the church of 1 Corinthians and found here in 1 Corinthians. And Lord, that you would help us, Lord, to be the type of place that would reflect a spiritual temperature, a spirituality about the way things are conducted, the way that we do things here. I pray these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, I'm going to go back and just real quickly review. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 11, we begin to see that there is a problem that's developed in the church of Corinth. This problem revolves around the fact that there are divisions in the church, and these divisions are based upon some of the members having preferences of personality when it comes to church leadership or to certain preachers. They got to the point where they begin to say, I am of Paul. And another one would say, well, you may be, but I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas. And then there was some that said, I am of Christ. And so we see also in verse number 12 that this was this problem was widespread. Notice in verse 12 it says, every one of you. We've seen that the problem revolved around church members dividing over their preferences in preachers. Besides Christ, three men were listed, Paul, Apollos, and Peter. Each of these three men ministered in some way to the people of Corinth. These preachers had different personalities, different styles. Some were there at different times. They no doubt had different strengths and weaknesses. And I mentioned to you that I don't believe it's a wrong thing at times for members to be drawn or maybe have a preference in a personality as long as they do not let their preference turn into a dislike for another leader. They do not let their appreciation for one turn into a criticism towards another. And they do not let their praise of one supplant their love and loyalty to the Savior. Also listed with these men is Christ. I want to repeat this little section one more time because I want it to get into your heart. Imagine Jesus Christ had become just another name on the ballot of most popular spiritual leader of the First Baptist Church of Corinth. That's disturbing to me. I hope that bothers you. Okay, it doesn't. All right, but it bothers me. And he is last on the ballot. And many of you, how many of you are of Paul? I mean, can you imagine? How many of you are of Paul? Yay! How many of Apollos? Yay! How many of Peter? Yay! How many of Christ? Yay! The congregation was divided into following of different preacher personalities, and Christ had been demoted below preacher personalities. Christ had become a last place option instead of being in the place of supreme preeminence where he belonged. Now, last week we went to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and we wanted to clearly identify the problem. Now, I'm not going to reteach this since it's fairly fresh on your mind. But the source of the problem was not, in this instance at least, the preachers themselves. I do think at times that that can be the problem. I have to make sure that, you know what, I'm just as appreciative and just as thankful that Brother Reiser's on staff here, and that, you know what, if he helps somebody in a way that I haven't been able to help them, that I don't become jealous, that I don't lash out, that I don't become hurtful, that I don't get my feelings all in a knot. Are you listening to me? And I say, praise the Lord. I think that's why we hired him. I think that's why he's here. I think that's what he's supposed to do, is help people. If somebody came to me and said, I hope you wouldn't do this, please don't do this, say it away from me if you're going to say it. But if they said, you know what, perhaps Jerry, I like you as pastor, but I'll be honest with you, I liked Pastor Robert Ross a whole lot more. I hope that you're not so insensitive to say that, but I will say this, if you did, honestly, I would probably say, amen, I like him better than me too. You know what, folks? What we've got to get over is we got to get egos out of the way. We've got to die to self. We got to stop worrying about where we fall on the popularity chart. Can I say this, folks? That's all carnal. You know what? The only thing I ought to be worried about is Christ at the top. Is Christ number one? Does Christ have the preeminence? And if everybody's doing their job and doing it properly, then that's what ought to happen. That's what ought to be the result. But the source of the problem was not the preachers themselves. I don't see anywhere where Paul rebukes Apollos, rebukes Peter. I don't think these were men that were trying to build a following. Matter of fact, you're going to see just the opposite as we go through Paul's attempt to fix this and give and present a solution to this. We see that the problem was the carnality of the members. Now, I spent some time last week defining carnality. I hope you won't forget that. Let me give you the simple definition of carnality. Carnality is a perverted structuring of self. A perverted structuring of self. God created us to be triune creatures. When we're born again, we have a body, soul, and a spirit. Inside of our body, we house the Holy Spirit of God. So to help us to get our arrangement right is the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is supposed to have preeminence in our life. He communicates with our spirit. Our spirit then helps us to have spiritual emotions and spiritual thoughts so that our soul becomes spiritual. We're to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded. The Bible goes on to tell us, warn us, we had the time to go look at it, that to be carnally minded is death. And so the Holy Spirit, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. He communicates with our spirit. We then have spiritual thoughts and spiritual emotions. And you know where the flesh is? You know where the body is? It's way in the back. We've died to self. We crucify the flesh. We don't let that flesh have much say in anything that we do. Because, folks, you get the flesh in something, you're going to have problems. You get the flesh in control, you're going to have problems. Now, what is a carnal Christian? A carnal Christian is the one where the flesh is leading the pack. Behind the flesh is the soul. Behind the soul is the spirit. And in last place is the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God's way at the back. He's either grieved or quenched in your life. He doesn't have much say what goes on. The flesh rules and reigns. And because of that, the flesh affects our soul. We begin to have fleshly thoughts or carnal thoughts. We begin to have fleshly emotions or carnal emotion. Hey, I'm talking about, listen, folks, I've watched Christians do things and say things and act in such a way, you'd think they were a lost person. You get the flesh out in the front leading the pack, you're going to have a mess. You're not going to think right. You're not going to look at things right. You're not going to be spiritually minded. You're not going to have a spiritual viewpoint. You're not going to see things as God sees it. You know what you're going to be worried about? You. You know what's going to be most important in your life? You. Your way. Did I get my way? Did I get my feelings hurt? Did I get the recognition I thought I deserved? How come they got to sing tonight and my kid didn't? That's how we get. Now, I mean, I'm telling you what, if next thing you know, you get a bunch of fleshly, carnal Christians in a church and you're going to have World War III going on all the time. Amen. And so What we need to do is we need to ask the Holy Spirit of God to help us to arrange ourselves into being a spiritual man. The carnal man is a man who is not surrendered or controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. The carnal man is a man who is controlled by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. The carnal man is a man whose soul is controlled by his worldly thoughts and fleshly emotions. The carnal man is a man whose spirit is malnourished, and the Holy Spirit inside him is grieved or has been quenched in his life to where he is allowed to have any little or any effect on that man or woman's life. Well, that's a sad way to live your Christian life. Now, the spiritual man, with help of the Holy Spirit, dying to self, seeking the fullness of the Holy Spirit, promoting the Holy Spirit from resident to president. When you got saved, you got the Holy Spirit. You don't need to get the Holy Spirit. You need to let Him get you. You need to put Him in charge. The spiritual man, on the other side of the coin, is a man who is filled with the Spirit of God. The spiritual man is a man whose spirit is in communion with the Holy Spirit. Spiritual man is a man whose soul is controlled by spiritual thoughts and spiritual emotions. And the spiritual man has a body that is under subjection to his spiritual thoughts and his spiritual emotions. Now, we see here, folks, and the goal here that Paul is trying to tackle right in the opening words of his letter is this. Folks, there's not a whole lot I can do to help you if you're not willing to allow God to defeat carnality in your life. To defeat carnality in your life. You see, spirituality is produced by a divine structuring of self. Now, we said carnality is a perverted structuring of self. Spirituality is produced by a divine structuring of self. Now, I know this is a little deep, but I hope that I don't have to just warm bottles and always give you milk. Hey, we're grilling some meat up here. You like the smell of steak broiling? Then you ought to like this. I mean, you like a big old T-bone, you ought to like this. Sorry, it can't always be funny stories, juggling, and blonde jokes. Every once in a while, we ought to just come to church and actually learn the Bible. We ought to be willing to let the Holy Spirit search me, O God, and know my heart, try me and know my thoughts, see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, folks, I'm telling you this. We're tackling right out of the gates. I mean, we're not even out of chapter number one. But I guarantee you, Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is shining a bright spotlight on the central problem in every single carnal church out there. Every church that has a church problem, we're going to deal with a lot of problems, but they're all going to come back to the same thing. Hey, get your flesh out of the way. Die to flesh, die to self. Stop worrying about you. Hey, I know this is a shock. News flash. There's something more important than you. There's something more important than your petty feelings. There's something more important than your point of view. I know that's a shock to some of your systems, but it really is. Christ is more important than me, you, and all of us put together. His will being accomplished, His kingdom being advanced is more important than whether or not I got asked to do this, or I'm allowed to do this, or I got rebuked about that, or I didn't get first in line over here. There's something more important going on around here. And listen, I feel like we're a blessed church. I mean this. I'm hitting this hard. We need to hit this hard. Don't think we can't slide into carnality so quick you can blink a couple of times. The most spiritual person in the church, a month's time, could be the most carnal person in the church if you're not careful. Man, the minute you think you're the most spiritual, you're probably the most carnal right then. You know, this is something you got to battle. This is something you got to realize that you've got to work on. Listen, folks, I'm telling you, I talk to young preachers. I talk to pastors. You talk to pastor honestly. Sit down one time and just ask him. Pastor, in all your years talking to pastors that have struggled and gone to these churches, and just what are they dealing with? You know what they're dealing with? Can I just say it? A bunch of babies. I'm wondering if half the churches that men are trying to pastor, I wonder if half of them are the people and they're unsaved and the other half so carnal they don't know which ends up. They don't get it. They don't have a clue. I mean, you know, it's all about them. I mean, they've never in their lives driven down the street, looked over, seen somebody walking down the street and thought, I wonder where they're going. They never one time looked across to another member and said, you know what, I want to make sure they get their way, and I'm not selfish about getting my way. Amen.
Amen.
I mean, you know how much nonsense is going on out there, folks? And if we're not careful, a church that is so important, folks, listen to me. This church is important to this area. This church is setting a standard in some areas that's not been set and still is not being set by any other church. I'm not saying there's other churches that aren't trying, but we're setting a standard here. But we can slip into some carnality and nonsense, and we can self-destruct if we do not, each of us, every one of us, individually say, am I a spirit-filled, spiritually minded, spiritual emotions? Do I have the cause of Christ and the preeminence of Christ of utmost importance in my life? Or honestly, has my whole life been around going around quietly tooting my horn, having my feelings hurt, trying to advance myself, or pouting because I didn't get my way this week? Now, I don't want to live that way. If that's what you want, have at it. But kind of stay away from me. I mean it. I mean it. I don't much enjoy it. I don't even like interacting with people like that. Man, I've got so many things that I feel like God wants to do, and I spend time in prayer, and I spend time letting the Lord stir my heart, and I want to take this church, and I want to lead it forward in a spiritual direction. But you know what? You can't. Listen, a spiritually minded pastor can lead all he wants, but he's got to have spiritually minded people that come alongside and say, yes, let's do that. Let's do that. And so, let me encourage you to stop being so protective of you and yours. Why don't you die to self? Why don't you give a little bit more of your time? Why don't you give a little bit more of what is yours to the cause of Christ? Now, carnality, how is it defeated? Spirituality is produced by a divine structuring of self. How do you do that, Brother Jerry? You've got to crucify your flesh and the lust thereof. Every single day, the first thing you do, I heard a man say this, before you climb out of bed, why don't you make that bed an altar? Why don't you lay out on that bed and say, Lord, I'm turning this bed into an altar, and I want to sacrifice my flesh. I want to die to self. I don't want the flesh to control me today. I want to surrender to your Holy Spirit. Listen, crucify the flesh and the lust thereof. Strengthen your spirit through prayer, the Word of God, and proper music. Seek the fullness of the Spirit by emptying yourself of self and confessing sin and asking the Holy Spirit of God to fill you. Discipline your thoughts and emotions to be controlled by your spirit, which is controlled by the Holy Spirit, not your flesh. And if you do that, you know what? You're not going to walk around here doing a bunch of dingbat things. Okay? Are you listening to me? I'm not talking to Christians that, you know what, you've just been saved and you're trying to figure out which ways. I'm talking about veteran Christians. Come on. Come on. Just doing things that was not prompted by the Holy Spirit, that was prompted by your flesh, your pride, just to stir something up, make somebody mad, or get something going. Amen.
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 So come on now. Come on now. Here we go. Now, we're going to get in verse number 13 here. We've got to move on down because I'm going to be into July and still trying to finish 1 Corinthians chapter 1 if I'm not careful here. Now, look at verse number 13. The solution, okay, the source of the problem's been clearly identified. What is it? Carnality. The solution is powerfully presented. Look at verse number 13. Here, we're going to get down to where Paul starts trying to fix some things. Number one, here's the question. Is Christ divided? So what Paul does is he begins to ask a series of questions. You know, a lot of times when you're trying to teach somebody, Sunday school teachers, this is a great teaching method. Parents, this is a great teaching method. You know, if you're just talking, kids may or may not be listening. If you begin to ask questions, then their mind has to start working. So Paul's been hammering, all of a sudden he stops and says, let me ask you a question. Is Christ divided? By the way, that's the end of a sentence there. I think Paul, it's hard to do this with a pen, but I think if he could, he'd just kind of maybe drop about that far on the parchment and just have a little silence after that. He wasn't asking a question for no reason. He wanted an answer. So do I tonight. Is Christ divided? Is Christ divided? Is he or isn't he? No, he's not. Then should his body be divided? Absolutely not. Nothing spiritual about it. Nope, God didn't lead you to do it. Nope, you're not being hyper-spiritual because you go around causing schisms in the church. No spirituality involved in it whatsoever. It's just absolute wicked carnality. That's what it is. That's the base of it. That's it. Now, then he asks this. He asks this. Now listen, is Christ divided? Watch this. Was Paul crucified for you? Was Pastor Jerry Ross crucified for you? Was Jeff Fugit crucified for you? Was Paul Chappell crucified for you? Was Robert Ross crucified for you? Brother Reiser crucified for you? Who was? Then maybe he ought to have your ultimate loyalty. Maybe he ought to have your ultimate love. Maybe everybody ought to start looking at him. Well, isn't that good? I mean, Paul just gets to it. And that's why I said earlier, a couple weeks ago, I said, I've heard people. I heard a very well-known preacher. And I've heard him preach through this a couple times. And he gets into verse 12 and he says, some were saying, I am of Paul and I am of Paulus and I am of Cephas. And then there was this spiritual group that said, I am of Christ. They were just as wrong as the other. No, they weren't as wrong as the other ones. The answers to these questions are fixing the problem. You see no condemnation for somebody that actually had their eyes on Jesus Christ. There's no condemnation here. What's the answer to the question? Is Christ divided? No. Was Paul crucified for you? No. Then who was? Jesus. Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No. Then who were you baptized in the name of? Jesus. Guess who your eyes are supposed to be? Guess who's supposed to be number one? Who cares about all the other? Listen, be thankful for them. Be appreciative of them. Be glad for them. But they're supposed to all be pointing you to Jesus Christ. Stop being a man worshiper. Amen. That's a carnal thing. No preacher or spiritual leader should ever become more important to you than Jesus Christ. Although we have our preferences, we may appreciate one preacher more than another, what is most important to us is that they preach Christ. And all can be appreciated and supported who endeavor to exalt our Lord and Master. Now, I'm hitting this, but this is the number one problem, number one that he dealt with in order. And folks, I believe we've got to face this. No division in the local assembly ought ever, I'm going to finish up here, no assembly, division, listen to this, no division in the local assembly ought ever to occur over human personalities. Ever, 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 ever. When we exalt a messenger of Christ above Christ, we commit the sin of idolatry. By the way, are you reading this? Yes, and I typed every word of it. Thank you very much. All right? If all of the congregation will ultimately keep their base loyalty centered on Jesus Christ, then this will insulate us against becoming involved in divisions over personalities. Now let me give you this. A couple pieces of advice. Listen up. Allow people around you to appreciate those who have helped and influenced them, even if their list of spiritual mentors is different than yours. Did you hear what I said? Allow people around you to appreciate those who have helped and influenced them, even if their list of spiritual mentors is different than yours. As preachers of the gospel, we need to accept that those we minister to will sometimes have other preachers who they also admire and appreciate. We cannot be so insecure or unspiritual. We cannot be insecure or unspiritual in our reaction to this. Man, amen. Be glad. As our church grows, we add to our staff, our congregation has to be spiritually minded enough to allow polarity of leadership not to cause division in the church. You know why some pastors never grow past what they can personally oversee themselves? Two reasons. Number one, some of them are so insecure that they cannot bring on somebody else because they can't stand the idea of anybody else being looked to. Others have been burnt so many times in the past, they're scared to bring somebody else on because they've seen how many problems it can cause. You know what? I want to see Blessed Hope Baptist Church grow. I don't want it to reach a saturation point where Pastor Jerry is saturated and therefore the church cannot go forward. But you know what? I can't bring on other people because, man, I've got so many carnal people that we'll end up with three churches instead of one. So what I'm trying to do tonight is prepare you for the future and prepare you for the present and to tell you, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's exalt Jesus. Let's make sure that he's number one. Let me give you these thoughts and we'll be done. Substance is more important than style. Some of you are way too much in love with a certain style of preaching. I mean, some of the stuff that you yell amen to and you think was the greatest message in the world, if we actually listened to it slowly and wrote down the things that were actually said that were biblical, you wouldn't have a paragraph. But the guy was mean and you liked it. Or he screamed and you liked it. Or he told six funny stories and you liked it. Well, I'll tell you what liked it. Your flesh liked it. I'm not against any of those things, but I'm telling you, you're looking for entertainment, not Bible principles. I'm all for all those things as long as I get a bunch of the Word of God along with it. I think stories are a powerful tool to use in preaching. I'm not against somebody lifting up their voice as a trumpet. You know what? That's what the Bible says we're supposed to do. But I am against people that some become so enamored by a style of preaching that they react to the style and never even listen to what's being said. I've heard men. Listen, I listened to a lot of sermons when I was in Bible college. I've learned, I mean, you realize, you know, I was there for 3/4 of my life. We had chapel 5 days a week and preaching all the weekend long. I have heard men stand behind a pulpit and get in all a sweat and a frenzy and say something that was absolutely unscriptural and have guys jump on the pew and wave their Bible. And you know what they were reacting to? Emotionalism. Emotionalism. Their spirit wasn't first in place. Their emotions were. You know why, folks, the charismatic churches are whipping up crowds? Not because there's a whole lot of truth being preached there, but there's a whole lot of emotionalism going on there. You know why they got to spend an hour pumping up the crowd into emotional frenzy with music that speaks to the flesh and the emotions? Because they don't have a whole lot of spiritual things to try to get across. Now what I'm saying is this, folks. Listen, substance is more important than style. Learn to appreciate the fact that God uses a variety of different types of men to preach the same gospel and point you to the same Savior. Do not allow your personality preferences or one style or personality to cause you to become critical of someone of a different style or personality. It'll be a great day in your life when you can sit and listen to 5 or 6 different types of preachers, all preach Christ, all with a little different flavor, all with a little different little style, all with a little different personality, and be blessed with every single one of them. You know why? Because they preach the Word of God. Yeah, Pastor Ross's style of preaching is a little different than mine. My style of preaching is a little different than Pastor Reiser. And you're going to have other men. We're going to have men coming in our preaching conference. And you know what? Somebody's style is going to be different than somebody else's style. Boy, I like them. You know, okay. I understand that to a certain extent. But, man, when it's all said and done, just like Christ. Just love Him more. Just fall in love with Him more. And if that's accomplished, everything else will be fine. So I've exhausted this subject. I want to make sure we got it done. Next Wednesday night, Lord willing, we'll get into local church problem number 2. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time we've been allowed to spend. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would use what was said today. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Ultimately, help us to keep our eyes on Jesus. Lord, help us to love spiritual music and spiritual preaching and the Word of God and the spiritual nourishment it provides and our prayer time and the spiritual strength that it gives us. Help us to surround our life with things that strengthen our spirit, to eliminate things that build up the flesh, feed the flesh, that make the flesh so strong, so powerful in our life. Help us, Lord, to do some honest examination. Now, Lord, I'm concerned. As a preacher, I'm concerned. We're going to move off this. We're going to go on to the next thing. But if this hasn't been properly addressed by the folks that have sat here, Lord, we're going to spin our wheels as far as how much I can help them. Help us, Lord, to take the time to honestly allow the Holy Spirit of God to examine our hearts, our lives, and make sure that we've got things in the proper order. We pray these things in Jesus' name.